16 through 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. And I'd encourage you to find that in your pew Bible. I'll be mentioning some of those scriptures throughout the message. Verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we have an interesting selection this morning. We have verses from Joshua and now verses from Corinthians. And then earlier we read Psalm 32. The story from the Old Testament, of course, we hear the story of Joshua. And the people of Israel have finally arrived in the Promised Land. For 40 years they have wandered. They have been a transient nation, going about the desert wilderness with no destination. They were there because they had broken covenant with God. And throughout these 40 years, they had suspended covenant living. And therefore, they had suspended the joy of being in a close relationship with God. Now, God still looked after them. We read today of the manna that was provided for their sustenance. And we read of other stories where God intervened and provided water or other necessities when it was necessary. But if they were to regain the joy and privilege of a covenant relationship, they needed to be reconciled. This story marks a time of transition then for these people, of being reconciled and being made right with God. And it also meant that their behavior would be changing. You may remember from Wednesday night service this week where I talked about repentance. And I said repentance is more than being sorry. Yes, that's part of it. But it includes a change in behavior. So repentance and reconciliation are very closely related. Our reading picks up just after the Israelites have reaffirmed their commitment to God's law in a ceremony of circumcision for all the males that were born during those 40 years of wandering. It was an act of humility and an acknowledgement of God's chosen people. And then God speaks to Joshua and tells him, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And they named that place Gilgal, which actually means in Hebrew to roll away. This past week, I was talking with Reverend Russ Sauerwein, and he mentioned this verse. And he said to me that whenever he hears this term, rolled away, he can't help but think of the stone covering the tomb of Jesus and how it too was rolled away on Easter morning. All the children are leaving. Did I say something wrong? I said circumcision and they ran for the doors. All right. Well, Russ Sauerwein, a good friend, he loves finding these little obscure threads that weave through the Bible, linking the Old Testament with the New Testament. And oftentimes, he finds interrelationships to the birth and the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he likens it to a back of a tapestry. How many of you have seen the back of a tapestry? It looks like a riot of color and thread going everywhere. And while they may appear to be random, each of them is an important part in the picture that forms on the other side, isn't it? Well, today's other scripture, of course, is from that letter, Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, where he describes the greatest act of reconciliation ever recorded. And that's God's reconciliation and renewal of the world through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This, too, was a time of transition, of being made right yet again in the eyes of God, and it marked the establishment of a new covenant. This time, the covenant was for all people, not just the chosen people, all people. Of course, I'm always curious when I read a scripture that begins with therefore. So I like to go back and understand what's happened before that and why the author is therefore-ing what they're talking about. I'm not sure that's a word, therefore-ing, but bear with me. Well, in this case, I went back and looked at verses 14 and 15. So if you have your Bibles open, look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. And it says, "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them." And then we come to our verses in 16 and 17. "From then on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." These scriptures describe our relationship with God, if in fact we are sincere in our faith. Christ died for all, therefore all have died. All have died to their old selves, their old way of life. There too is a connection to Wednesday night, where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." See where it says, "If anyone is in Christ," at the beginning of verse 17, that's simply another way of saying, for those that abide in Christ, there is a new creation, and we are the new creation. Well, what makes this creation possible? Go back again to verse 14. What is it that urges us on, that inspires us and changes us forever, such that we become these new creatures and never see another person the same way? Can you tell me? Jesus. It is Christ's love for us, all the way back there in verse 14, and not just for us, but for all people. Because of that love and the resulting transformation that it inspires, we never again see a person with just our human eyes, our own eyes. We see them with the eyes of Christ. Our story, our transformed self, emerges with Christ's story. And our calling is to live not only in celebration of what that means for us, which is wonderful, but to walk in the path of death, just as Christ walked, and to the promise of resurrection, just as Christ was raised for us. But then, more importantly, for others. The selfish, the I'm number one attitude, the narcissistic old self is put to death. And we become people of light and hope and promise. Because I believe this is what it means to be called to a ministry of reconciliation. Just as the scripture says, God entrusted this message of reconciliation to us and made us ambassadors for Christ. So what is an ambassador? Sounds important. We are to be ambassadors. We know that as a nation, we have ambassadors that serve in other countries around the world. See, from a political perspective, it's a diplomatic official of the highest rank that's sent to represent our nation to other nations. And the ambassador is empowered and authorized to serve as the official voice and the presence, in our case, of the United States in a foreign land. It's a position that warrants great respect because it carries great responsibility. An ambassador's words and actions reflect the entire country of which they represent. In our context today, Paul writes that God has called us to be ambassadors and entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. We are the authorized and empowered representatives of Jesus Christ. It sounds serious because it is serious. And it's not really all that difficult to understand. As followers of Christ, our words and our actions represent the one in whom we have placed our trust. God is relying on us to share the good news of Christ's sacrifice and the possibility of restoration and renewal of all humankind. And all we do and all we say is a reflection of the trust that God has placed in us. I've got to tell you that it didn't take long for me to feel some serious conviction as I was writing this. I was thinking, yikes, everything I say, everything I do is a reflection upon my Lord. I'm not sure I've been a very good ambassador today. But this makes sense if you go back and think about it, because based on what we read earlier and what we talked about last Wednesday, being connected to the vine and firmly attached to Jesus, then the power we receive comes directly from the source. It simply flows through us to be revealed in the fruit that we bear. So if what comes in is Christ, then what goes out is Christ as well. That connection to the vine, to Jesus Christ, is so important. In baseball parlance, we might keep our eye on the ball. I had to put in a baseball reference. Season started. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. A creation, transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. Are you a new creation? Does your heart ache with compassion for the poor and the oppressed? Do you find yourself crying over injustice and innocent suffering of people you don't even know? Are you bothered by the pain of families broken by addictions to drugs or alcohol? Or the way our penal system is used to lock up people with mental illness rather than providing them with the treatment and the long-term solution they need? As you reflect on the words you use each day and the actions that you take, would Christ be pleased to have you as his ambassador? I'd like to suggest that if you're the same person you were 10, 20, 30 years ago, you might want to do some soul searching, because transformation is life changing. The way you think about and treat others, your attitudes, the way you view the world, even the things you enjoy doing in your free time, all of it changes. Frank Crouch is the dean and vice president of Moravian Theological Seminary in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And he writes this. He says, transformation born out of death and resurrection does not entail incremental, gradual changes. It does not merely recycle old ways and tweak familiar personal or communal habits to produce slightly improved upgrades. It opens us to new modes of travel altogether, new types of journeys that we could never have imagined. The change that Paul describes is an all-encompassing change. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Repentance and reconciliation equals a new creation, a new understanding, and a new beginning for every one of us. And that's my prayer for you today, that you too will be a new creation. Let us pray. Lord God, we just appreciate so much this time of year, this time when we can focus on spending time examining our own lives, of acknowledging that we fall short. Lord, sometimes we fall far short, but we are so grateful that you are the God of second chances, and that each time we fall, you are there to bring us back up. Lord, we pray today for forgiveness of the ways that we have disappointed you as your ambassadors. We pray, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit, just as a vine feeds the branch, so that the fruit that it bears is healthy and robust. May we be those branches, dear God. I pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.